Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. You've heard it said that there are givers and there are takers in the world. You usually hear that from people who are bitter. You know, the people who are bitter are always the givers, and then everybody else are the takers. Well, I've found that to be true, that there are givers and takers in the world, and that means that there are some people who spend a lot more of their time giving, and there are some people who spend a lot more of their time takers. There are some people who are outward focused, and there are some people who are overly self-focused. But to be a Christian, first you have to learn to be a taker. John chapter 3, verses 16 to 21 tell us why. John 3:16 says this: God the Father loved the world unconditionally, and he loved the world so much that he gave. And, you know, Christmas is coming up, and we're going to celebrate the fact that God the Father gave, that he gave his uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:17. For God the Father did not send the Son into the world to judge the world. That is, he did not send the Son into the world to create a situation of damnation where God would have his foot over our head and be waiting to come down on us. But God the Father sent his Son that the world might be saved. Salvation, not damnation. That the world might be saved through believing in him. John 3:18, he who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is not judged. But he who does not believe has been judged already. Why? Because we're born physically alive and spiritually dead, on the wrong side of a barrier, helpless and hopeless to do anything about it, without a relationship with God. And as a matter of fact, Romans 3 talks about how we don't even seek a relationship with God. We don't understand God. There's none righteous. Not even one. So he who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the person of the uniquely born Son of God. Takers take a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:19. This is the judgment, that the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come into the world, and men loved the darkness of Satan rather than the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, for their deeds were evil. That's the funny thing about people. See, when we do something wrong, we want to hide. When I do something wrong, I go to God with it. And he welcomes me with open arms during those times when I am the weakest, during those times when I have done the bad thing, during the times when I have put my fingers in the cookie jar. But most people do exactly the opposite of that. They run from the light to darkness. Well, why? John 3:20. Everyone who practices evil, and this is a description of people who practice unrighteousness and who practice ungodliness. It's a reference to unbelievers. Everyone who practices evil hates the light. And specifically, the light is they hate the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way we were as unbelievers, according to Romans 3:10-20. We hated Jesus Christ and did not seek a relationship with him. As a matter of fact, he sought the relationship with us and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. John 3:21. But he who practices the truth, and that's a reference to believers in Christ, comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested, that is, made clearly visible, as having been wrought in God. Now, that doesn't mean that Christians don't sin. We, of course, do, and probably more than unbelievers. But what it means is that we have made a commitment to the light. So real takers want to be exposed for all they have taken from the Lord. Welcome to a place where you can be a taker, and you can take all of the Word of God that you want. Today's Bible lesson, being a Christian is easy. Just be a taker. Well, I was talking to a friend this week, and he just couldn't accept it that God would allow some people to go to the lake of fire. Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ die on the cross for everyone, he asked. I said, yeah, yes. You know, when the people get that tone of voice, you know, I sort of kind of get meeky. Yes. Everyone? Yes. Well, then I can't believe that he would let someone he died for go to the lake of fire. I mean, what if they didn't know about him? And that's the thing he just kept harping on. What if they didn't know? But what if they didn't know? But what if they didn't know? What about all the little children in the middle of Africa? They knew. But how do you know they knew about him? Well, God says so in his word. But what if they didn't know? He couldn't get off of that. So what we're trying to get our head around as we study Romans 9 is God is sovereign. And what does that mean? And something else, God isn't. He isn't sentimental. One of the things I tried to explain to the guy is God is not going to let you, who are a believer in Christ, be promised salvation and go to heaven and let the person who rejected a relationship with him off the hook. He doesn't work that way. He's not a God of partiality, but it's clear from 2 Peter 3:9 that it is not God's will that any should perish. He doesn't want anyone to go to the lake of fire. He's fair, most of all. So for any of you who are worried about people you love, who are rejecting a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, just teach them to be takers. Because the truly selfish people in this life are the ones who know what to take. And you definitely want to take salvation. Because our gracious God loves to give. John chapter 1, verses 11 to 13 say this: the Lord Jesus Christ came to his own, and that's the Jewish race, and those who were his own, the Jews, did not receive him. The Lord went to his own hometown, Bethlehem, to his own people, the Jews, to his own nation, Israel, and they rejected him. Very much like what happens to all of us when we go home, isn't it? And that's what it said, a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. We don't get welcomed with open arms. I go out during the week in my career and do this magnificent thing, and I come home to my wife, and she says, I say, honey, I did this great, magnificent thing. She said, that's great. Can you bring in the garbage cans? She doesn't do that, really. Actually, my wife is pretty supportive. So, but and hi to her, by the way. She's listening to us in Dallas today. So people don't always get a reception from their own hometown. A prophet has honor, just not in his own hometown and not with his own family members. John 1:12. But as many as received him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in his person, to them the Lord gave the right to become children of God. What are children of God? Adopted adult sons, even to those who believe in his name. John 1:13. Who were the born again ones, not born of blood, not by physical birth, nor born of the will of flesh, not through human decision, nor born of the will of a man, a husband's decision to be a father, but the born again ones of the sovereign God. God is sovereign. God decides who is saved. Now, we get to express our volition in that matter, but it's God's calling and not our decision that's important. God's calling. That's what we have to get our arms around in the matter of sovereignty. And I'm trying to come up with analogies that would make it apparent, but I think the one that popped into my head this morning is this. There is a road, and it's going from here to there. I told you the other day, there's a bowling alley that's going from here to there. And God is bowling the balls, the souls, down to the pins. And they all fall in the gutter. And his gospel message is begging them to come back to the lane. But the lane is going right there because God's sovereign decision made it so. And we get to participate in that sovereign decision. Our will and his will coexist in human history. And we're going to learn about that, not only in lesson one, but lesson two today, and in some pungent ways. So we'll learn about the wisdom of being a taker in today's lesson. And we'll start by giving you a chance to turn from the cares of the world to this message that you're about to hear from God the Holy Spirit. And we're going to open with a song called Beyond Me by Toby Mac.
Call it a reason to retreat. I got some dreams that are the outmatched, outsized, the underdog, and defining my life. Is it so crazy to believe that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach? Call me the waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. You keep on making me see it's way beyond me. It's way beyond me. Yeah, it's out of my league. It's way beyond me. It's way beyond me. It's way beyond anything that I got the strength to do. In over my head keeps me counting on you. I'm leaving the sweet spot, short shot, trading it all for the plans you got. Is this so crazy to believe that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach? Call me the waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. Yeah, you keep on making me see it's way beyond me. It's way beyond me.
Grateful Heavenly Father for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for giving your Son to pay for our sins so we could be takers of the free gift of salvation as a result of his work on the cross and his shed blood. Encourage us as Christians to take more from you so that we can learn how to give as you do, especially giving the gift of the good news of the gospel message to our friends and our enemies about your free gift. Help us to help them be takers. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. A quick few announcements. Mark your calendars. Next deacon's meeting is November 12th. We move that out 1 week. So change that in your calendars. And we're going to talk about that sandwich board and our invitations that we started that conversation last time. Next Lord's Supper celebration is November 13th. No face-to-face teaching, November 20th, December 4th, December 25th, and January 1st. Lessons will be posted. Prayers, please, for those who are making petitions and intercessions on the Barah Ministries Prayer Request Group on Facebook. And prayers especially for all those who need the Lord's support who aren't asking for it. You know, God says to us, ask and it will be given to you. Knock and it will be open to you. Seek and you will find. And anything you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And when I think about God's sovereignty, one of the things I think about is if it is true that everything that he wants, he gets, then why aren't we asking more? Because, believe me, he wants you to have the desires of your heart. So prayer is something that we need to work into our schedules. The Bible says make it a habit to pray. And we need to make it a habit to pray, especially in light of the fact that everything God wants will come true. So to the degree that you align what your life is like to what He wants, it's a beautiful thing. That's called obedience, by the way. Happy birthday to Debbie Kramer coming up November 1st. The Big 5-0. Awesome. Only 50 more years to go. And I can see that now. You'll be 100 years old sitting there, and I'll say, Debbie, did you get the slides, honey? That's great. Debbie does the slides for me every week, and she does a magnificent job, and the best at it that has ever helped me. Totally cooperative, always on top of things, and always anticipating what I need, and I really appreciate you for that, and happy birthday. Happy birthday coming up to Pastor John Farley on November 2nd. So those of you who know Pastor Farley, please give him a call and wish him a happy birthday. He's always happy to hear from people from Barah Ministries. Today's Bible lesson, being a Christian is easy. Just be a taker. Being a Christian is easy. Just be a taker. Now we're studying Romans chapter 9, the second passage. And the backdrop of this passage is God's sovereignty. God is able to do all that He wills. And you know what, as the lid is coming off of God's sovereignty and as the lid is coming off the doctrine of election, it's really interesting to me how to get our minds wrapped around that. You know, for me, the fact that God is sovereign is not a big issue. Okay, you're the sovereign God of the universe. Nothing happens in the universe without your permission. You're the one. I get it. You were here before everything. You created everything. You'll be here long after everything is gone, if it was going to be gone. So I get that. But as I have started to study this and tried to wrap my human brain around it, I can see where Calvin made the left turn, where he took the turn that said God picks some people to go to heaven and some people to go to hell. That's a nice distortion of sovereignty. The truth of the matter is, God calls people. And the thing that Calvin missed is that God factors our choices into it, but our choices aren't what make us saved. It's His calling, because He is sovereign. And that's the hard part to get the head wrapped around. So over the next few weeks, we'll be really tackling that. So we're studying Romans chapter 9, and the backdrop of the passage is God's sovereignty. God is able to do all that He wills. And if creatures don't respond to God's will, like the Jewish race did not when He came here, it's not His fault. And I had a light bulb go on that the Jews that we're talking about here who rejected Jesus Christ are the unbelieving Jews. But there is a remnant of Jewish people who believe in the Lord, and it has been reckoned to them as righteousness. And those are the Jews who come from Abraham's line, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not the racial line, but the spiritual line. So let's take a look at this passage and see what it has to say, and then keep going into the depth of the passage. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. It is not as though the word of God has failed simply because unbelieving Jews rejected their Messiah. It seems, the way people say this is that God set the Jewish race aside. He did not. They set themselves aside. See, when we do something, we're always blaming God for it. They set themselves aside because they didn't believe that the Messiah was who He said He is, even though everything that the Old Testament said, He fulfilled. It is not as though the word of God has failed simply because unbelieving Jews rejected their Messiah, for they are not all Israel. They are not all spiritual Jews in the eyes of God, who are descended from Israel as racial Jews. Romans 9:7. Nor are they all children of God in God's eyes, simply because they are Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac, a believer in Christ, your descendants will be named. You know what that means? You can come to the earth through the racial line of Abraham and reject Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Conversely, you can come to the earth through Ishmael's line and accept Jesus Christ. It's your choice. Romans 9:8. That is, it is not the children, not the born ones of the flesh, Ishmael's seed, who are children of God. But it is the children, the born ones of the promise, Abraham's seed, the born ones of God, that are regarded by God as descendants of Abraham. Romans 9:9. For this is the word of promise made by God to Abram and Sarai, that at this time next year I will come and Sarah shall have a son. See, God has a sovereign plan. And part of that plan was that Abram and Sarai would have a child, and his name would be Isaac. And then Isaac would have children, and one of them would be named Jacob, and the whole Jewish race would come right through that line. Now, those born into that line are racial Jews, but they have to do the same thing that we have to do as church-age believers. They have to make a decision to be spiritual. They have to move from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive, just like we do. And those who did make that decision are saved. Romans 9:10. Not only this, but there was Rebekah also, Isaac's wife, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac, Romans 9:11. For though the twins were not yet born, and had not done anything good or bad. They weren't born and they hadn't done one thing, good or bad. So that God's purpose, according to his sovereign choice, would stand. And not because of works, but because of God the Father who does the calling. Romans 9:12, it was said to Rebekah, the older will serve the younger. And that was not the custom of the time. The custom of the time was that the younger would serve the older. Romans 9:13, just as it is written, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. So there represent two lines. There represent the racial Jews and the spiritual Jews, Jacob's line, the spiritual Jews, Esau's line, the racial Jews who rejected a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord gives his all to us. To all of us, to all creatures. My friend was right about that. Didn't he die for everyone? Yes, he did. Didn't he pay for the sins of everyone? Yes, he did. Doesn't he love everyone unconditionally? Yes, he does. What does unconditionally mean? It means no conditions. You can't disappoint God. We like to think that way when we're looking at things from our viewpoint. Oh, I did something wrong, and I know that my parents were disappointed with me when I did something wrong, so it must be the same with God. No, it isn't. God is unconditional in his love. He is not counting on your goodness to inform his opinion of you. If he was, it'd be big problems. He'd have probably never created any of us. Because all have sinned and fall short of the essence of God. There isn't one of us who's righteous, not even one. So the Lord gives his all to us, and all we have to do is be takers. He is the source, and we are the recipients. Now, what did he give to us? Well, God's gift to the Jews. The first gift to the Jews was himself. The first gift to the Jews was himself. He announced himself as the God of Israel. Here's what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 and 46. This will be familiar to you. Then David said to the Philistine, Goliath, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. 1 Samuel 17:46. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands. And he goes on to say all the things that will happen, and of course all those things did happen. He cut the Philistine's head off and let his body be eaten by the birds. What else has God given us? God's gift to the Jews, he gave the Jews leaders, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He gave them promises, five covenants with Abraham. The Palestinian covenant for real estate. the New Covenant, the, what are the other three? I knew I shouldn't have started naming those because I didn't bring them up before. The Davidic Covenant, the Mosaic Covenant, and then there's one other. But five covenants that all of which will come true. The Abrahamic Covenant is the fifth. God's gift to the Jews, blessings. Multiplying their seed, giving them their own land, giving them a country. God's gift to the Jews, status, promising David a line of perpetual royalty on earth. God's gift to the Jews, a future, prophesying a great and glorious end for Israel, not only at the end of the tribulation and into the millennium, but into the time when the new earth and the new universe are created. Now, if you go back in that list and look at it, it's the same exact list of things that he has given to us as church age believers. He gives us himself. He gives us blessings. He gives us promises. He gives us status. We are royal family. We are the royal family of God. We are a holy nation. We are royal priests. He gives us a future. So, and if you look at that, it's the same thing he gave to angelic creatures. He gave them a leader, Satan. He gave us a leader, Paul, and all of the apostles who wrote the New Testament. So, God works the same way with each of us. He gave us all these wonderful things. And all we have to do is take. All we have to do is take the provisions. Deacon Denny has a child and a little boy and another child on the way. They are takers. And he said many times in his lessons, they don't do anything to earn or deserve what they're getting. They're getting clothed. They're getting fed. They're getting educated. They're getting treated like William's getting treated like a king. King William. Hello, Willie. And he isn't doing anything to deserve that. That's the same thing that happens with us. And all William has to do is be a taker. And that's exactly all we have to do. Now, were the Jews takers? Romans chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 say this. But it's not as though the word of God has failed, simply because unbelieving Jews rejected their Messiah. For they are not all Israel, they are not all spiritual Jews in the eyes of God, who are descended from Israel as racial Jews. Romans 9, 7, nor are they all children of God in God's eyes, simply because they are Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac, a believer in Christ, your descendants will be named. The unbelieving Jews were selfish, that is, self-focused, but not selfish enough to be takers of this phenomenal and free relationship that the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to give them by going to a cross, shedding his blood, dying for them, and then proving who he was by being resurrected from the dead. They didn't take a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they left all the magnificent gifts from God on the table. And it reminds me of a story of three guys who are going through the desert. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the day, it gets very dark out. And there's a voice that comes from the sky, and it says, stop! And they're all kind of scared, and they stop. And they have saddlebags on their camels. And the voice says, reach down, touch, feel, fill up your saddlebags. And so they're still a little bit scared, and they do exactly what they're asked to do. And then one of them gets a little courage and he says, wait a minute, who is this talking to us? What is this voice? We don't have to listen to this voice. Let's press on. And so they ride away. And the voice says, you will be happy and sad in the morning. And when they get to the town that they're going to in the morning and they go into their saddlebags, there are jewels and treasures, gold, coins, all the wealth that you can imagine. But they came back with empty saddlebags. Because they pulled off before they did what they were instructed to do. And that's exactly what we do. You know, there's so many gifts that are available to us. And we simply don't take advantage of those gifts. We have this road that God has given us. We have this bowling alley that he has bowled our ball down, the ball of our soul. And all he asks is just stay on the alley. It's leading to a really cool place. And we look at that and we hear the voice and we say, I don't have to listen to that. And we veer off into another lane.
our lane. We don't have to do that. And I think maturity is figuring out that you don't have to do that. Maturity happens when we have enough of those times where we veer off into the other lane and our bowling ball gets crushed. And then we come crawling back to the lane that God has set for us. I think we have enough of those experiences to know that it's not a good idea for us to go off on our own. So let's take a quick music break. And then we'll see what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say about what real takers do that distinguishes them. And the music break song, Already There, by Casting Crowns.
Wish I knew how. All my fears and all my questions are gonna play out in a world I can't control. Whoa, whoa. When I'm lost in the mystery, to you my future is a memory. Cause you're memory.
Welcome back. Today's Bible lesson, being a Christian is easy. Just be a taker. Romans chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 say this: it's not as though the word of God has failed simply because unbelieving Jews rejected their Messiah, for they are not all Israel. They are not all spiritual Jews in the eyes of God who are descended from Israel as racial Jews. Romans chapter 9, verse 7, nor are they all children of God in God's eyes simply because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac, a believer in Christ, your descendants will be named. Not through Ishmael, in other words. Are the Jews takers? No. And especially not the right kind of takers. And this is made clear by the Lord in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 44. He's talking to a group of unbelieving Jews. Here's what he says. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, and what that means is they were paying attention to him but not believing in him. And he said, if you continue in my word, that's the gospel message. If you continue on, believe the gospel message and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in me. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. You have a choice. That if is a third class condition, if in the Greek. Then you are truly disciples of mine. Disciples, technical students. Technon is the Greek word. John chapter 8, verse 32. And you will know the truth of salvation. And the truth will make you free, meaning you will be saved. John 8:33. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants. In other words, racial Jews. And we've never been enslaved to anyone. So how is it that you say you will become free? They evidently forgot the 400 years of slavery in Egypt. John 8:34. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, and whenever you see truly, truly in the Bible, it is that this particular matter will be a matter of tremendous contention. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. And this is a reference to Adam's original sin. The original, as they were unbelievers, they're in bondage to sin as their sovereign. John 8:35, the slave does not remain in the house forever, as was true of Ishmael. The son, like Isaac, does remain forever because he has spiritual kinship with the Christ. John 8:36, so if the son, the Lord Jesus Christ, makes you free, and again, this is a third class condition, if, maybe he will, maybe he won't, because you have a choice, you will be free indeed. John 8:37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. And what he's saying there is because you're unbelievers. John 8:38, I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. He's about to lower the boom on them, people. John 8:39, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. And what is he talking about there? Like Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed in God, and it was credited to his account as righteousness. The unbelievers have not done that. They have not believed in the Christ, and it has not been credited to their account as righteousness. And righteousness is what you need as an admission ticket to heaven. You have to be as good as God, and that is a free gift that God gives you at the moment of your salvation. John 8:40. But as it is, you're seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God the Father. This Abraham did not do. John 8:41. You are doing the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we're not born of fornication like you. He was born, the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, and everybody knew that Mary got pregnant before she had actually moved in with her husband. And so that's what they're referencing here. We're not born of fornication like you. We have one Father, God. John 8:42, Jesus said to them, if for the sake of argument, this is a first class condition, if and it's true, if for the sake of argument God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and have come from God the Father. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but God the Father sent me. John 8:43, why do you not understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't hear my word. See, as unbelievers, they are sukkikos men. The Bible calls the sukkikos man, that's a Greek word, the natural man. The natural man, the unbeliever, cannot understand the things of God, the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they're spiritually appraised, and they don't have a human spirit to appraise spiritual things. John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father, Satan. He was a soul murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. Now, one of the great things about that particular verse in this passage is that you know that all of you have inside of you this thing called the flesh. And this thing called the flesh is always sending you temptation, always tempting you to do things that are not in line with the plan of God. And it's a big dilemma for Christians a lot of times. You know, we hear that voice and we wonder, well, I wonder if that's from God. I wonder if God's telling me to do that wrong thing. You know it's not from God. And the great thing about knowing about anything that the flesh says to you is because it comes from the flesh's father, the devil, you automatically know it's a lie. If the flesh tells you you're not a good Christian, you know it's a lie. If the flesh tells you God's really disappointed in you, you know it's a lie, because everything that comes from the flesh is a lie. You're not a good husband. You're not a good wife. You're not a good father. You're not a good kid. All right, that one you should probably listen to. that might be correct. But all those other things, you know that the things that come from Satan are lies. And so you don't pay attention to them, but of course we do pay attention to it. So this passage is saying that religious privilege, birth privilege, is not spiritual privilege. And what the Jews of that time were being taught is that if you were a descendant of Abraham, you didn't need a relationship with the Christ. And of course, that's absolutely false. Who are the real sons of Abraham? Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 to 9 say so. It says this: even so, Abraham believed God. He believed in Jehovah Elohim, God the Son, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Galatians 3, 7. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith alone and the Lord Jesus Christ alone who are the sons of Abraham. Galatians 3:8, the scripture, foreseeing that God the Father would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed by you. Abram became a believer in Christ when he was in Ur of the Chaldees. He did not become a believer in Christ at Genesis 15:6. That was just the mention of something that had already happened earlier. And he became a believer in Christ when he was a Gentile, not when he was a Jew. Galatians 3:9. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. My friend was having trouble realizing that God is sovereign, that God is able to do all he wills to do. And he has will for you as a believer in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says what his will for you is, and it is this: we believers in Christ are his workmanship. We are works of art. We are masterpieces at the hand of the master potter. We are the clay. We believers in Christ are his workmanship, created to be in union with Christ Jesus and designed for good works, which God the Father prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. And what does that mean? God gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Sitting down and talking to my friend last week was an opportunity that was prepared for my friend in eternity past. And God gave me the opportunity to do that. Now, I had a choice at that moment. I could engage the conversation, or I could say, hey, man, just pass me another drink. I don't want to talk about this. Let's not get too heavy. Well, I don't do that. I engage these conversations. And you can pass the drink as well. So with this idea as a backdrop, are you truly a taker as a believer in Christ? Or are you just fakers? Are you taking advantage of God and all he has given you? The thing that came to mind there is I have a treadmill in my house. And it's been in my house a whole number of days. And I would hate to see the statistics about how many of those days I was on the treadmill. Now, I have an excuse. I'm out of town a lot. Amen? Can I get an amen? All right. So those days don't count because you can't be in Dallas and be on a treadmill in Phoenix. But seriously, if the statistics were laid out, it'd be ugly. And that's just like our spiritual life, really. We have all these assets at our disposal, and, you know, we dust them off all the time. We polish them up. We pull them out every once in a while. But that's clearly not the way God would have us handle it. He wants us to use all that he has given us all the time. So are you a taker or a faker? Or are you creating your own works to walk in? Because this is a struggle of my spiritual life, and I know it's a struggle of yours. For example, God has given us all the gift of time. How well do you use it? God has given some the gift of being single. Are you comfortable with his blessing? Or are you forcing your will and paying the consequences for it? Are you forcing yourself into a relationship rather than taking the time to heal during the time that you're single? After all, people aren't in charge of the realization of our desires. And a lot of times we think that getting in a relationship is going to be everything for us and that that person's going to make us feel. That's the way we describe it. He makes me feel. She makes me feel. Nobody makes you feel anything. And people are not in charge of delivering your desires or helping you get the realization of your desires. But God is. And speaking of blessings, do you ever ask God why he has given you certain blessings? You know, we always are famous for asking why he has given us tribulation. But do you ever ask why he has given you the blessings that he's giving you? And why you're in the exact circumstances that he wants you in right now? Now, King William is listening today, and, you know, he sent us a text message. He said, "I a taker, Pastor Rory." Well, William is a blessing. Right, but it certainly doesn't seem like that when he's almost hitting his head on the coffee table and when he's throwing a tantrum, does it? So, why did God give us the blessings? Because he gives us the exact things we need. And sometimes that's tribulation and sometimes that's prosperity. He gives us the exact things we need. I noticed that when I'm going through a tremendous amount of tribulation personally in my spiritual life, I noticed that there are friends that just pop up out of nowhere with phone calls. And I know that God orchestrated that. And I can see his hand active in my life. Can you? Because his hand is always active in your life. So we ask, what is the blessing that God is giving us designed to teach? Psalm chapter 16, verse 11 says this, "You will make me known, you will make known to me the path of life. You will make known to me the bowling alley. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever." That's God. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to have a life that is pleasurable forever. And sometimes that pleasurable thing he wants for you is tribulation. And sometimes that pleasurable thing he wants for you is prosperity. All the Cub fans today are feeling the effects of God giving them the prosperity of the World Series and the pain of being down 3-1. And I say the Cubs have the Indians exactly where they want them, and they're going to pound the tribe. They're going to scalp them in the next three games and win the World Championship. So here's the point. God is sovereign. You know, I was thinking yesterday, God already knows who the winner is. Amen. I wish he would tell me. I'd bet. I'd make a bet that would deliver $3 million and we could build this beautiful building that we have planned. Here's the point. God is sovereign. He is the source, and he has willed something for us. Are you willing to be takers enough to take advantage of it? Well, the closing moments of our lesson is dedicated to anyone who does not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a chance to make the most important decision of your life. An unbelieving jailer asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes." Romans 10:10 says this, "For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, the imputation of absolute righteousness by God, and with the mouth he confesses, I am a sinner, I need a Savior, resulting in salvation." 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of. But instead, the Lord is patient toward you unbelievers, not wishing for any to perish in the lake of fire, but for all to come to repentance." And repentance means a change of mind about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And you might even say that that means that he is faithful to all of his creatures. Here's June to sing that song, "He's Been Faithful."
In my moments of fear, through every pain, every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no song, I see. To prove.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for always being there for us. Thank you for being faithful enough to sacrifice your own Son, so that whosoever believes in him would never perish but have eternal life. And we just pray that you help us to see with the eyes of our soul the gifts that you're giving us, to recognize with the eyes of our souls the times that you're intervening for us, so that we continue to cast off all doubt, cast off all fear, and continue to have faith in you, placing our confidence in you, knowing that you always come through because you are perfect and everything you do is perfect. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.